This morning we were making a presentation in the temple room about what is also called the four generation. Presentation, four generations of a religious organization. The other title of it is the Fading Acharya. Not such a nice title, but anyway, maybe realistic, Fading Acharya. And the idea there is that how a religious organization maintains its purity, integrity, and how it deals with issues over the generations, over four generations. Why four? Well, there are four really sort of landmark or deciding factors involved in religious organizations. What one is the philosophy, the issues at hand, the challenges that arise either in philosophical or in application. And then the other one is the instructions which come from the founder Acharya, and of course all of this is in the context of ISKCON. Then the context in which instructions are given, and the context in which issues are dealt with, and ultimately the intent, the intent of the Acharya. Who's the first generation? Well, the first generation is the founder himself. He's the first generation of the religious organization. Anyway, we'll just talk about ISKCON now. And that means Srila Prabhupada. And Olai. And following Srila Prabhupada are his disciples, which are in the numerical decline. And then there's the disciples, Prabhupada's disciples, and those are now a global phenomena. And they're the disciples are the second generation. The disciples of disciples are the third generation, and then you guessed it, the disciples of the disciples, disciples of the disciples of the disciples are the fourth generation. And obviously there are certain key factors involved in all of these generations. With the founder Acharya, with Srila Prabhupada, he's very clear on where he stands on issues, what his instructions are with them in terms of context, time, place, circumstance, and what ultimate purpose of resolving issues or presenting instructions is. Even though sometimes he may say contradictory things, but still he has a very clear purpose in mind. In the next generation, his disciples, for them, although they have the context, because they live with it, and they have the instructions, and obviously they're dealing with the issues themselves, so the issues are the one constant thing through all the generations. But what they don't have What they lack is the purpose. They're not necessarily clear on what the purpose is. So we see in ISKCON, let's talk about the monks, Prabhupada's disciples, there are differences of opinion thereby referring to Prabhupada's instructions on certain issues. There are differences of opinion. And why? Because the purpose of Prabhupada's instructions and the ultimate direction isn't particularly clear. In the case where it is, then unity and diversity, then it's easy to find the unity. In the cases where it isn't, then you just end up with diversity, and then of course just diversity can lead to marginalization of certain groups of devotees. So here's the first generation, their challenge. And of course, how do they make up for the shortfall in directly understanding the purpose? They really have to be clear on those other three factors and study them very carefully. But the second generation, they no longer have the luxury of the context. And then the finding the unity becomes even more problematic and even a greater likelihood of schism or split. Split means that there are differences, and not only you don't understand the purpose of why there are difference and be able to unify it, but you're also missing the factor of actually knowing the context in which why different things were said at different times in different places, and understanding what the overall intention of Srila Prabhupada was. So again, the weight or burden of balancing that off really falls on being very clear about the instructions and also the issues themselves. And of course the benefit that the third generation devotees have is the physical presence of Prabhupada disciples, in other words, those who knew context. So by that association, they're able to actually review and get the benefit of that previous association. And we see how devotees, when they're association of Prabhupada's disciples are speaking about their experiences with Srila Prabhupada, it opens a whole different dimension to them, not only about Prabhupada's personality and persona, but how that person worked, what his purpose was. And by helping to understand Srila Prabhupada better like that, then the unity is more easily attained in resolving and issues and dealing with situations within a society. And of course, in the absence of being able to do that, then you do have fracture, and ultimately that means a religious organization falls apart, and there are many, many religious organizations that never get past the first generation. There are few that continue on for generations or even for centuries and maintain a real healthy understanding of what their founders gave. And of course, here we're not even talking about Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but other religious organizations. So it's a challenge for us. And the very interesting part of this presentation is the survey which we did during the WE, meaning the managers organization of the ILS meeting, organizers of the ILS meeting this year, where we had 750 leaders of ISKCON, and about half of them filled out, they were asked to fill out a form about education, about reading Prabhupada's books, because ultimately as generations go by, then it's going to be connection with Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's instructions that's going to actually fill in the gap. But if people don't read Prabhupada's books and they don't study them, understand them, discuss them, and know them, then it's, we may think that the movement is moving forward in a healthy way, and I'll give an example of what healthy may look like, but actually it's not being healthy. So so the results of that survey, and this were 250 devotees, they were average 20 years in the Krishna consciousness movement, so they weren't young devotees. They'd read Bhagavad Gita an average of 4 times, which you could say was reasonable. Bhagavatam, an entire Bhagavatam, was less than once on an average. And first canto was, say, about twice. And then there was Nectar of Devotion, which I think was also twice. Chaitanya Charitamrita was less than once. So that's not very good in terms of if we're really going to have the substance that this movement is meant to have. And of course we'll say, well, but things are going well, we're spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Of course, one could argue that it's spreading in some places, not necessarily in others. And what spreading really means is also something else, spreading amongst who. But the other perspective is, if you consider these four factors to be like, which I mentioned, the substance, issues, context, instructions, and purpose, they're like legs of a table. If someone sawing away the leg of a table, maybe sawing away and maybe 95% sawed away, but everything seems pretty good, everything seems quite stable. But all of a sudden, it's not going to be stable. And even the idea that things are okay now is misleading, because they're not okay. It just seems to be okay. So one has to therefore be really proactive and before the legs. And of course, even if you saw away one leg of a table, maybe you've got three and you can counterbalance to get some degree of balance. But ultimately, with two legs, it becomes hopeless. So if these ingredients are not kept in place by very careful religious study of Srila Prabhupada's books and of knowing Srila Prabhupada, then even though it may appear like things are okay, but actually things may be on the verge of collapse. And once they are, once that leg's gone, then it becomes very difficult to replace it. It becomes very difficult to repair. If you catch it in the process of being sawed away and stop, then that's being proactive. But if you just react, then that is, this is how crises happen. And as these crises compound, and then they bring about greater and greater risk of a religious organization not being, not surviving past the fourth generation. So this was the substance of four generations.